Adults convicted of grooming children into a life of crime could face jail sentences of up to 5 years under new legislation coming into force today. Separately, today also marks the launch of new law enforcement systems aimed at tackling Ireland's uninsured driver problem. Most recent figures show 188,000 uninsured private vehicles on our roads, and that is the second highest in the European Union. Minister for Justice Helen McEntee, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, hi.
Talk to me first of all about the scale of the problem with grooming children into crime that this legislation that you're actioning today is designed to combat. Like, what do you know about those figures, those numbers?
Well, we know, and this is through research that we've done, a particular programme called Green Town, which is operating at the moment, where Gardaí are focused on vulnerable children, children that are being groomed and enticed into a life of crime. There's about 1,000 young children that are susceptible or that are vulnerable to this at the moment or at any given time. And we're not just talking about teenagers, we're talking about children as young as 7, 8, 9 are literally being targeted by criminals, by organised crime groups. They are being enticed. They're being shown this fabulous, wonderful life that they think they might have with money and access to whatever they want. But we know that's not the case. We know that for so many of these young children, they're already coming from perhaps poverty or from a challenging background. We know that they themselves get involved in crime, whether it's drug dealing, whether it's drug running, whether it's petty theft, that then often escalates into much more serious crimes. Mm-hmm. And for so many of these young people, their prospects, any potential future they had, be it in work and travel and a normal life, is completely annihilated and they end up in prison.
Those criminals inducing them into a life of crime are their parents, are their siblings, are their uncles or their aunties. How do you tackle the crime and protect the child?
So this is one of a number of measures that we're dealing with to try and break those links. And so often, yes, the children are part of families where crime, where those families are criminals themselves.
So generational.
So you have to try and break that link. But where that's not the case, first and foremost, we have to make it very clear that any person who entices a child, who grooms them, who coerces them, who forces them, that it's seen for the crime that it is. So before today, the adult could be penalised for the crime that the child commits, whether it is selling drugs, whether it's theft, whatever. But there was no recognition of the damage being done to the child. So as of now, our laws recognise that damage. So an adult can be prosecuted not just for that crime, but also the crime of grooming or coercion, which, to your point, can face up to 5 years in prison. Separate to that, then, there are programmes underway. So, for example, Greentown that I mentioned, where there is intensive work underway. Gardaí working with our youth diversion programmes, working with our community organisations to support families, mm-hmm. to work with families, and where necessary and where possible, where we're then taking young people and adults and young children out of those scenarios where obviously they're interlinked and where we can't actually separate the two. So there's a lot of different work underway. You then obviously have the investment in our youth diversion programmes, working with Minister of State James Brown in my own department, who's been working on this, more than doubled the number of investment in the youth diversion programmes. Again, all of this is connected. So it's breaking that link. It's making sure that where people exploit extremely vulnerable people, again, we're talking about children as young as 7 or 8 years of age, that they are penalised for it, and that we break that link, and that in particular we're targeting organised crime groups. These are so often organised crime groups. So all of the other measures that we've introduced, whether it's conspiracy to murder, whether it's investing in CAB, whether it's giving Gardaí more tools to dismantle these groups, this is just one of the key tools.
You see it all as being interlinked. I want to move on to tackling uninsured cars and vehicles on the road. Today you're calling National Insurance Enforcement Day. Now, Niamh O'Callaghan, who spoke to us a little earlier on in the programme, has had terrible personal consequences of being in an accident involving an uninsured driver. Now, she made the point about the number of uninsured cars, 150,000 or 188,000, take your pick. The MIBI, the Motor Insurance Bureau, told us a couple of weeks ago that about 50 uninsured vehicles are taken off the road every day now. But even at that rate, it's going to take years to tackle just the backlog that's there already.
This is a significant problem.
It's huge. We're the second worst offender in the European Union.
And this is exactly why we have this new database. This is exactly why Gardaí now have handheld devices where when they conduct a checkpoint, or as we now know, regular units are every day conducting 30 minutes of roads policing throughout their shift. If a car is stopped, Gardaí will immediately be able to assess whether or not a car has insurance or not. And since this has been introduced, while we're formally launching the database today, and today is a specific day of action that Gardaí are undertaking, focusing on insurance enforcement, we know that already, because of this new app, because of this new database, there are thousands of cars that have been taken off the road that wouldn't have been otherwise, have been impounded. To your point, 50 every day. So there are hundreds every week since the beginning of this new app, this new device that have been taken off the year.
Back of the envelope calculation at 50 cars a day over a year, you'll only impound about 18,000 in the year. It's going to take many years to reach 188,000.
Well, what we know is those numbers are increasing. So obviously where Gardaí are now all Gardaí conducting 30 minutes of roads policing a day, it means that those type of figures will start to increase. It will take time, but we also have to change people's behaviours. It's not enough just to catch people out and to take people off the road. We need people to be insuring their cars. We need people to know that it is a serious offence to drive without insurance. It's not just the potential to be given a serious fine, significant penalty points, but there's also potential up to 6 months in prison. So this has serious consequences. And to your very point, to Niamh, who we heard from, and the devastating implications here, there are implications not just for the driver, but for a person who you may be involved in an accident with, and have, you know, there are serious life consequences. So this is all about changing behaviour. Every investment that we're making, everything that the Gardaí are doing, that we're doing to try and reduce the number of road deaths and accidents on our road, it's also about trying to change behaviours. It's about making sure that when people get on the road, they have insurance. But also, we know that people without insurance are more likely to engage in other types of dangerous behaviours. They mightn't have NCT. They're more likely to be speeding. They're more likely to be engaging in other types of what are known as killer behaviours. So it's about changing these behaviours.
Changing behaviour,
but also
and
enforcement.
Enforcement, because on another issue related, 21,000 who had a driver's license when they received a driving ban, and this is between 2021 and 23, only 5,000 of them surrendered that, and that is a legal requirement, and yet only 5,000 surrendered it. How do you tackle that?
This is something we're working on at the moment. So to be able to respond to the many challenges that we're seeing, there is a collective effort underway at government. So in my department, it's the Gardaí obviously working on enforcement. It's me making sure that I've secured the funding for additional Go Safe vans for average speed cameras, that we introduce technology. I'm working with, and we're working with, the court service to make sure that when somebody is presented to court, that they must, and that they're forced to present their licence where that hasn't been the case.
Or it should be voided, should it? I mean, should there be some digital manner way of dealing with this?
And this is what we're doing. We're investing in technology. So how do we make sure that systems are automated insofar as possible? And this is what we're talking about here with the access to the database, the handheld app. How do we then look at where things are not operating as efficiently as they could right across the system? And so this is one of a number of actions that are underway at the moment. As I said, we're looking at how we can use technology around average speed cameras, around static cameras, about people who are breaking other types of road laws, where they're parking illegally, where they're using bus lanes, all of these types of behaviours. Where somebody engages in one type of negative driver behaviour, they're more likely to be engaging in some of the more serious offences as well, like speeding, like using their phone, like driving under the influence. So this is a collective effort by everyone here.
All right, let's turn to immigration. This plan to means test asylum seekers, how many does it impact? What is the data telling you about how many it impacts?
So the Minister for Social Protection is currently looking at that at the moment. We know the number of people that are here that have come from Ukraine directly, and obviously the number of people seeking international protection. Those seeking international protection are already on the lower figure of €38.80, and obviously where there's accommodation requirements needed, there's a slightly increased figure there. Those who have come from Ukraine, those figures are changing now as well, and that's really to bring everybody in line, to make sure that those who are here, those who have access to work, those who are available to provide for themselves, that they can provide for themselves, and that's why these payments are changing. That's that's why the systems are changing. But in particular, where somebody can work, this is about making sure that everybody's equal here. If a person has the ability to work, to provide for themselves and their families, in any instance, if they were receiving social welfare, there would be a means test.
So. But you said the Minister for Social Protection is looking at the numbers at the moment, or gathering the information. So are you introducing a policy before you've crunched the numbers, before you know what you're dealing with?
Well, we're introducing
cart before the horse here.
This has nothing to do with the numbers. We can, you know, at the end of the day, we will have a certain figure.
But how effective is this policy going to be? I mean, what are you going to do? How are you going to collect? What are you going to collect in money? What are you going to save?
Well, what we're saying is that if a person is working, and this applies to anyone in the system, this isn't just for those of international protection or those coming from Ukraine. If a person is working and a person has the means to provide themselves, you know, to fund themselves, to house themselves, then they shouldn't be getting a higher level of state intervention or funding. And that applies to anybody in this country. So we need to make sure that our rules are fair and that they apply across the board. So this is not about how many we can take out of the system. This is about making sure that we have a fair system that applies to people equally across the board. I mean, we want to, and you've heard me talk about this before, we need to make sure that we have a system that's firm but fair, that anybody who comes to this country, whether it's a beneficiary of temporary protection, that's someone coming from Ukraine, or whether it's somebody seeking international protection, that they're given the supports, that they're given the assistance, that if they have a right to be here to finally have protection and move on with their lives, that they're given that right quickly. But if they don't have that right, if they're here and they're able to work and to provide for themselves as well, if they're here legally, if they have arrived through the international protection system, that that system is also fair as well, and that they're treated equally. So that's exactly what's happening here. We're making sure that if a person has the ability to provide for themselves, that they do so.
The declaration of the state of Palestine by Ireland, Spain and Norway, it's ratcheted up tensions with Israel, and they say you are playing into the hands of terrorists. How do you respond?
We have utterly and will continue to utterly condemn the actions of Hamas. Hamas is a terrorist organisation, and the recognition of Palestine has absolutely nothing to do with Palestine or to do with Hamas. This is about recognising the people of Palestine. This is about bringing us, we believe, closer to a peaceful solution. And the only way that you can actually reach a peaceful solution is by a two-state solution, by recognising the right of Israel to exist in peace, for its people to be safe, but also the right of the people of Palestine to exist and to be safe as well. We have always said that we would recognise the state of Palestine when we felt it was the right thing to do. And we believe now, particularly where there are so many in Palestine who believe that they have been forgotten, that there is absolutely no hope, we want to provide hope to those that there can be a two-state solution, that there can be a peaceful resolution.
This country's ambassador received a dressing down from Israel yesterday.
And, you know, I don't think that was appropriate. I think the action that we have been taking has been to support Israel. We have done nothing but utterly condemn the brutal attack by Hamas. We have called for the unconditional release of all hostages. We have also called, though, for the access of aid into millions of people who are currently starving, who have no access to food, who have no access to medical treatment. We need to make sure that at the end of this, there is a light for people here. And the only way is through a two-state solution. That is why we have made this decision. But we've also made this in conjunction with two of our partners in Europe, with Spain, with Norway. We're not the first. There are a number of countries that have already recognised Palestine, and I don't believe that we will be the last.
Justice Minister Helen McIntyre.